Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We're live and on location at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference in beautiful Bismarck, North Dakota. Day three of what has really been a beautiful event, I think, in a sort of breaking out for not only the industry that is so important to the state of North Dakota, but I would argue just for people to be, you know, at a big convention center with 2,500 people and taking it all in. So, busy show today. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, will join us on the program. America's oil champion, Harold Hamm of Continental Resources, bringing his whole executive team. Bill Berry, the CEO, the President and Chief Operating Officer, Jack Stark, tell you everything you need to know about the prosperous past and the bright future for the Bakken oil field. And, of course, you can't have Harold on with the same, what the heck's oil price is going to do anyway, Harold? So we'll do that as well today on the program. We're going to meet the folks from Enerplus today on the show. So sort of a who's who of the oil and gas industry for sure. And, by the way, Mike Pompeo, yes, former Secretary of State, yes, former CIA Director and Member of Congress, actually somebody that was a president of an energy services company. I mean, that's pretty amazing, too. So looking forward to that conversation. We have about a half hour with the Secretary of State, and I'm looking forward to that on the program. How do you use that? I don't know. A lot of ground we could cover with him, and we'll do it. Somebody that spent a little time with him last night. And our next guest, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota, is here, Brent Sanford. Brent, how are you?
Great. Good to see you, Scott. It's just a pleasure to be here. Folks are so happy to be here and be out. And so many people have said this is their first public outing in a year, and they're just so thankful to be here in Bismarck, and the place is full. They must have sold every square inch for booth space, and the event center has been full for all the speeches. It's just been a wonderful event, talking about innovation, how we're going to change the world and keep changing the world here in the Bakken. It's an exciting time to be here.
It sure is. Talk a little bit about Mike Pompeo and the keynote speaker that everybody will hear from a little later on today. You spent some time at dinner last night with him. You know, what are you most impressed about with Mike Pompeo?
When I was introduced to him, I didn't know what else to say. What just came out of my mouth was thank you for your courage. And as the night went on, it's apparent that that's Secretary Pompeo. It's amazing. An amazing story. I don't know how many people around the table knew that he's number one in his class at West Point. Just a Cinderella story. Ends up running an oil field services company. And then he said I was the smartest guy in the oil field until 2008. So he's very humble. And then he said took a crazy move, decided to run for Congress. And so he wasn't in Congress that long, actually, before he was tapped by President Trump to take such a crucial role. And Governor Burgum asked him, what was your favorite job, the CIA director job or Secretary of State? And, of course, typical Secretary Pompeo, the whole answer was very humble. But he said, well, CIA director was the most fun. But he said, you have to pick Secretary of State because of the influence and the opportunity you have to help the world. And he just gave us all kinds of inspiring stories of what he and President Trump and the administration were able to do to actually bring peace to the Middle East for a short amount of time. The Abraham Accords are historic. You know, some details on how to get to that point, on why it was important to be tough with Iran because of the connection to China that they have. And I mean, it's just very, you'll have a great interview with the man, but it was incredibly encouraging. It was very clear he's a man of faith. He's pressed many, many times, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? And everybody around that table has one idea what he should do next. And he's too, you know, he's just too humble to point out what anything else from where he's at. It's going to be where he's led, and very respectful to President Trump. He said there's a man in Mar a Lago that's going to make a big decision, and a lot of it's going to depend on that. I mean, he just was so impressed. He's quite a guy. You'll have a good half hour with him.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that for sure. And I really am, it's just amazing how quickly things can change. It's one of my questions for him. I mean, the level of radical change that has come out of the Biden administration, not even sort of the typical one party to another party rule, and North Dakota sort of the epicenter of that when you look at you know, when Mike Pompeo and President Trump and the Trump administration were in power. What do you see as the biggest risk to North Dakota right now from a Biden administration?
Well, obviously, in the first weeks, there was a lot of anti-energy executive orders that came out, and you saw success with Mark Fox, Chairman Mark Fox from MHA, raising his hand And his story that he told, we were in a sit down with the CEOs that operate within the MHA reservation yesterday, and Chairman Fox said that he was told that was the quickest turnaround ever. And we believe it. I mean, it was almost immediate from when the letter was received to the moratorium was rescinded on his lands, on MHA's lands, and those are federal lands that were under the moratorium of no more leasing and no more drilling activity. And so it's an interesting time. Chairman Fox has leverage within the group, within the leadership group, but we also have been reaching out, and we're fortunately had our first call with Department of Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan. So you have some knowledge there from Senator Hovind when they were governors together. He said, I don't think she'll be bad. I think this is going to be something where she'll want to listen. And the governor and I were on the phone with her, and she was very excited about the things that are being discussed at this event, particularly how we can map over and make more money by doing what others would like to see us do with reducing carbon footprint. And that's happening already organically without anybody telling us to do it. Because as the governor always says, innovation is the way to get out of these challenges, not regulation. And we're doing it here. So she was super excited to hear about hydrogen prospects actually coming here, about using soybeans from no-till farming to create renewable diesel in a project in Dickinson. The ADM plant was just announced to feed the soybean oil to them at that renewable diesel plant in Dickinson. All happening right here with our homegrown ag products. And the exciting thing is if you do no-till farming, then there's a zero carbon score on those beans going into that renewable diesel. And that's something that Marathon Petroleum is doing that on their own. That's nothing that we're regulating them and telling them, thou shalt do this. This is on their own. They can sell that diesel for $2 more a gallon in California. There's opportunity here. There's nothing but opportunity. She was excited with the stories we were telling her. Long story short, she's excited to set up a tour to bring her team to North Dakota to go up to the EERC, how we're trying to crack the code on EOR, enhanced oil recovery, shoving CO2 in the ground, and it stays in the ground. She's excited to hear our plans.
She's a former governor, and that helps, you know, yep. Because then you've been actually in the trenches and been actually an executive, and it's more about solving problems. So I do like that about her and, you know, Michigan governor. Talk a little bit about what the governor announced yesterday, as you just said, related to the carbon neutral thing. I think some of what he was saying was misunderstood by some of the industry, say, you guys need to be carbon neutral. But I think what he was saying is the state can be carbon neutral because of what we're already doing and not getting credit for it. Am I right?
Absolutely. And that's part of our Clean Sustainable Energy Authority bill, House Bill 1452, that I talk about every time I'm on here. I'm excited to work with this group. It's going to be our platform for rolling up the research councils from oil and gas, lignite, renewable research councils to one authority looking at commercializing these new technologies. And a lot of them are carbon sequestration, carbon-free type technologies, and most of that comes from our lignite industry. The necessity to go CO2 free on those coal generating power plants. The necessity into the future with regulation wise that the investors in those projects are saying that this absolute necessity, that's our next step forward. So with what our lignite industry will do, that's bringing us closer towards that goal. And what the governor is saying...
Explain that, though. When you talk about necessity, you know, people say, oh, now we're caving. We're caving to this, you know, this lack of common sense and the extreme green agenda. But you call it a necessity to do what we're doing. Explain that.
Market-based necessity. I mean, they realize that the buyers don't want the... They've made it clear they don't want the black electrons that were disregarding the CO2 emissions out of the flue gas stream. And so the technology is there for the next iterations on these plants to actually capture the CO2 like we have with sulfur dioxide, like we have with NOx and SOx and all the other chemistry, and taking those particulates out of the smoke. We've already done this on a lot of these plants. The next piece is to take the CO2 out. And we do that at Dakota Gasification, that Basin Electric owns up north of Beulah, next to the Antelope Valley Station.
And
we
been
do
doing
it, now.
It for a long time.
And send the, yep. Guess what we do? Send the CO2 right up through the Bakken in the pipeline to the Weyburn Fields up in Saskatchewan, and they have been doing enhanced oil recovery for a long time. That CO2 needs to stay here and get more oil out of our formation. So that's the story here, is what's the next thing? Our oil industry is fairly new in the Bakken. They've been here for 10 to 12 years. They're still proving their leases. They're still filling out their pads. They're not even to the point of doing enhanced oil recovery yet. But Denbury, if you could get them on the show, they are doing enhanced oil recovery in the Bakken.
Yep.
In the Cedar Creek down in the Bowman area, because that's a more mature play. That was happening before I moved home. That was in the 90s and early 2000s. And they're going to do CO2 flood and bring many, many, many more barrels out of that formation in North Dakota with CO2 from Wyoming. So part of the governor's point is If CO2 is coming here from other places and we're shoving it underground, that's a carbon negative move. The summit plan that Tharaldson Ethanol is part of is to bring ethanol's extra CO2 from the Midwest in a pipe up to North Dakota and shove it in the ground, because our geologic jackpot of the Bakken has the formations where you can store and sequester that CO2 far more than we could ever produce, like 8,000 years of what we can produce.
And of
course, we have the place and the room to store it underground and keep it underground. And the hope for the folks in this room is we can actually utilize it for enhanced oil recovery. The extreme green side wants it to stay underground and never come back out, but Denbury will tell you it's not going to escape. They put it back in and keep recycling it. It just brings out more oil with less of a footprint.
Bottom line, it's a lot of opportunity for North Dakota. We'll talk more about this with Brent Stanford, our lieutenant governor, today on the program brought to you by PetroServe USA. Let's make you hungry right now, because they're serving up some great home cooking and grab-and-go convenience today. Meatloaf dinner for lunch today in Harwood off I-29, or the 12th Avenue location, has the meatball subs. Oh, those are great. Valley City, if you're traveling 94 today, exit 292, head north, pulled pork or French dip sandwich. Chicken fettuccine at the West Main Avenue, West Fargo, or Salisbury Steak downtown MP Avenue, Glendon today. Tater Tot Hot Dips, PetroServe USA.
Hi, this is Shane Tibiotowski from People's Home Equity Mortgage. Are you in the military or a veteran, a healthcare worker, first responder, police officer, firefighter, EMS, or an educator? If you are, I have great news for you. We are a Homes for Heroes lender that has amazing benefits for you. Please call me, Shane Tibiotowski, at 701-390-1674, NMLS 194-550.
My pals at Action Movers are now offering the lowest local move rate in North Dakota. It's the lowest advertised rate in 20 years. $99 an hour for two men in a truck. All you need to do is mention Scott. Not only the lowest local move rate, but the best movers in the state. They're professionally trained. They're background checked. Action Movers, North Dakota's best moving company since 1932. Family owned, veteran owned. Call now. 566-5532. 566-5532. Mention Scott to take advantage of this great offer.
It's time. Time to return to Norway. Let's plan for 2021. Nobody better to take you to Norway than Carol Juven at Juven Tours and Travel. You know, basically, if you want to do Norway, you want to do a family trip, you want to do it right, you want to just say, hey, what's my celebration going to be when this mess is over? Pick 2021. Right now, you know, find a month in 2021 and book it, right?
Yes, we have got five tours for 2021.
What number trip to Norway will that be for you?
Trip number 180.
Let's help them build back, because this is it in Norway. Tourism is what makes them go. It's pretty phenomenal. And if folks are dreaming a little about 2021, what do they need to see?
Oh, the fjord country they need to see, and the people. We don't just tour Norway. We meet the people.
Carol wants to send you a giant map of Norway free. 701-237-9000. JuvenTours.com. JuvenTours.com. And he'll help you find your family with that map. JuvenTours and Travel. 237-9000. JuvenTours.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Just this week, Newsmax held a town hall with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Last night, you watch that? Big waves this thing is creating. Every major cable system is carrying Newsmax right now because of that kind of programming. Newsmax is the new conservative network everyone loves. President Trump likes Newsmax, too, and urges you to watch it. Now, here's one thing. If you're a Mitco customer, please know they don't carry Newsmax. They don't carry Newsmax TV. And Mitco has no plans currently to carry Newsmax. So call Mitco, let them know you're unhappy. You can switch to systems like Dish or DirecTV, AT&T TV that do carry Newsmax. You can tune in for great shows all weekend. Diamond and Silk are on Newsmax. Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, and more. Newsmax even has the latest info with Dick Morris, and that's every Sunday night. Sebastian Gorka is on too Sunday night, so it's good stuff. More than 30 million Americans tuning into Newsmax TV regularly, and millions more have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphone. I did it. Watch Newsmax anytime, anywhere. And remember, let Medco know you're switching and start watching America's fastest-growing cable news channel. I watch Newsmax, and you should too. Back with more with our Lieutenant Governor, Brent Sanford, at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference. Texter says, it's sad that the American consumer doesn't think or care about the source of their products until a pipeline goes down or there's no beef on the shelves. That's just the state of the American, you know, system, isn't it, Brent? I mean, that's the American way right now. You know, so I have two microphones here now. So this one. So Brent's telling me, hey, I think you need another microphone there. What do you make of that, though? Just the fact that consumers, until a pipeline goes down or before there's the beef shortage, doesn't get it.
That's kind of how it works, it seems, today, that people don't know where their food or their energy come from. And the governor was, I don't know how many times the governor said yesterday in his keynote, we're proud to feed and fuel the nation. That's something Congressman Armstrong says whenever he speaks. I mean, this is something we have to brand that. That is the truth. We feed and fuel the nation from the middle of the country, from these red states, and from North Dakota especially. We export the energy we produce. We export the food we produce. And no, it doesn't come to people's attention until what happens in ERCOT, when they try to flip on the power switch and there's no power. They try to turn on the furnace and there's no gas and they're cold. And they wonder why. And they listen to the fact that, well, the grid is unstable because we have intermittent gas and we have renewables that are intermittent powering our grid. We've shut down our coal plants in Texas and now we can't handle when the temperature goes below 30 degrees. We can't have that happen here. We get too cold here. What happened during the ERCOT event showed that coal held the electricity in the entire upper Midwest during that time, our coal plants that we still have. So it's very important, but people don't realize it until there's a little crisis.
So let's talk a little bit about just overall what you see here. Last night, yesterday afternoon, I was on the stage with Kelsey Warren, and he talked about how Energy Transfer wants to get into the petrochemical space. That's kind of the next thing. That's where they're going to go. And I said to him, do you see North Dakota playing a role in that? He said, you got to have big open water to get those products ultimately overseas. You and the governor quickly said there's a couple of things we want you to know that came up after. Talk about the petrochemical space and where you see North Dakota playing a role in that.
Well, I'm sure Kelsey hadn't thought about it any more than most other people have. They just think, no, it's not the Gulf Coast, you can't do it. But we've been through those paces. We've asked all the questions the last 2.5 years and tried to figure out what it would take to get that next value-add piece, the biggest value-add piece available for our gas, and that is petchem. And there are a lot of detriments when you're in the middle of the continent. But guess what? It happened in Alberta. It was very intentional by the government of Alberta. And Canada is different than the United States. There's some things that wouldn't happen here. We don't have the slight aspect of socialism. We have this. It's royal minerals up there. It's private minerals here. I mean, it's a lot different environment. But to get it to market, that's the middle of the continent. And to get goods to the West Coast, to Japan, and that kind of those kind of markets on the western edge of the eastern edge of Asia, that it's closer from Washington.
The governor yesterday told me a story about how he was meeting with some of the Japanese officials and he got a map out.
Yeah.
Literally, and said, okay, we're actually closer to you than Nebraska, where you're doing things, or some of these other states, because of that, you know.
Through the Panama Canal. But also, the governor brought up, we just passed a bill to do cavern storage studies, intend to wallow out a salt cavern and use that for storing propane, natural gas, ethane, hydrogen, whatever it may be. And so that got Kelsey's attention. And that's one of the precursors. Another one is having enough water, which we do with Western Area Water Supply, with the Missouri, with Lake Skokowea. We obviously have enough ethane. We have too hot of pipes, basically, is a problem in the Bakken. We have very high BTU gas, and so we have an excess of ethane that has no market here. That's the feedstock for petchem. We feel we have all the pieces. It takes a lot of capital, but when you were hearing things about possibly having an ethane-fired power plant, that was one of the precursors as well. So We feel we can get there with one step at a time, but all the pieces are here. The question of how to get the final product to market is the big question, as always.
Brent Sanford, our Lieutenant Governor, with us on What's on Your Mind today. Gene has a call or question or comment. Go ahead, Gene, for the Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, Scott.
Morning.
Hey, I just heard Lieutenant Governor talk about, well, you know, there's no gas in the pipeline, there's no beef on the shelf. This morning on the farm show, they were showing Packer Matt margins, $950. In one door and out the other, $950 in their pocket. I have talked about before a state packing plant in North Dakota. And the blowback I get, well, that's communism. Well, North Dakota's got a bank. North Dakota's got a state mill. I don't hear talk about communism with those.
John, take your point, Gene. We hear this often. Brent, is there a solution on the front for these producers right now? It's a challenging time, no doubt about it. And North Dakota has been innovative in so many areas. Can we do it with beef?
We can do it with anything, but part of the problem here is corporate farming laws and the inability to be able to accumulate capital. So producers have a few different options and less options than other places. So you see a lot more value-added egg production plants in other states. And besides our corporate farming laws being antiquated, you also have the issue with where the population is. And believe me, I've been involved in this conversation for 25 years. When I was a young CPA at Ide Bailey, and I was growing weary of the audit staff, being an audit staffer, they threw me under the consulting department. I got to do projections for new egg co-op startups and new egg processing startups, and many of those were in beef processing or bison processing. And the challenge was not only capital accumulation, but we're too far from the market. So the theory is, kind of like our pet chem conversation just now, do you send the calves down to Nebraska and feed them and background them and finish them and then slaughter and send the meat to the markets where the people are at, or do you do that here? But I hear you. The ranchers are struggling. The packing has been a problem during this pandemic, and it's not getting any better. But there are projects that are being discussed. I would encourage you to keep having the conversation. Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, Egg Commissioner, I mean, NDSU Extension, NDSU Research. There's so many people in the egg space. Commerce Director James Lamont is here. He's got individuals that work only in egg, that focus on egg. So these are challenges we need to solve here in the state.
Thank you, Gene, and thank you, Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford. We didn't get a chance to talk about all the innovative things that are setting this industry up and other industries for success from the legislative session. I know that conversation is going to start with lots of media with you and the governor in the coming days. We look forward to being part of it.
All right. Thank you very much, Scott. Pleasure as always.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, when we come back, brought to you today by our friends at Pipers. And don't forget, Saturday morning, America's Land Auctioneer. Everything you need to know on this radio station that carries What's on Your Mind. Kevin Pfeiffer, Pipers.com. More after this.
It's time to visit your Northern Region New Holland dealer to see the latest over 100 horsepower tractors from New Holland. They use leading edge EcoBlue high ESCR engine technology for increased power, torque, and fuel efficiency, as well as Tier 4 V emissions compliance. That's New Holland Smart. Choose from T7, Genesis T8, and T9 series tractors up to 620 rated horsepower. Explore the power of blue today at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer.
A trusted energy partner, a leader in the Bakken. That's Hess. A global independent energy company leading the way in oil and gas exploration and production in North Dakota. Working with suppliers, landowners, communities, applying new approaches and innovative technologies for operating safely and efficiently and protecting the environment. Hess. Working hard to make a positive impact on the lives they touch.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Colonial Pipeline has returned to partial operations following a cyber attack that choked gas supplies for the eastern United States for days. In a statement, the pipeline operator said some markets served by Colonial Pipeline may experience or continue to experience intermittent service interruptions during the startup period. President Biden on Monday says he needs to talk with Russian President Putin before laying down blame.
I'm going to be meeting with President Putin, although there's evidence that the actor's ransomware is in Russia. They have some responsibility to deal with this.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine wants to pay Ohioans to get vaccinated. Starting next Wednesday, adults who have received at least one dose of the vaccine may enter a $1 million lottery every week for 5 weeks, paid for by federal stimulus money.
Those who are not vaccinated remain prey to this virus.
Kids under 18 have a chance to win a four-year scholarship. USA Radio News.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We are back at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference. I'm Scott Hennon, live on location. It is the final day, and the keynote speaker, the former Secretary of State, the former CIA director, and a former member of Congress from the fellow Midwestern state, North Dakota, and even a former energy services industry leader. So he checks every box here. Our friend Mike Pompeo is here. Mike, how are you?
I'm very good, sir. Great to be with you today. Thanks for having me here.
Well, it's I think everybody's really excited for your address today to the group. Let's start there. What are you going to talk about?
So as the Secretary of State, it was unambiguously clear that American energy and the capacity of America to generate energy for export, sell it to our friends in the world, and deny our adversaries the capacity to sell it to bad guys, made my job a heck of a lot easier. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how important what's going on here in North Dakota is to American national security.
You know, it's interesting when you see a cyber attack on a pipeline, how you kind of focus in on, wait a minute, let's see here, there's a act of terrorism against a piece of energy infrastructure, and now I can get gas at the pump. Did we need that little bit of a wake-up call for the consumer as well to understand what we're up against here?
Well, I hope it doesn't take things like that to get people focused on the right things. The fact that American energy is an absolute imperative. We each consume it in every way. You know, people think about gasoline in their cars. They think about electricity in their homes. But we forget clothes that we're wearing, all the things that we are made out of, petrochemicals. They come ultimately from base source products that are produced right here in places like North Dakota. I don't think the American people always think about that or get how deeply ingrained, how central to their way of life the American energy producer is. And, you know, if it takes something like this to wake people up, that's unfortunate. It sounds like they've got the pipeline headed back the right direction. That's a good thing.
Well, and honestly, you know, our competitors in this industry here, as you know, as someone from the industry, are, you know, fellow oil companies, right? I mean, you got people, that, you know, entrepreneurs and innovators and people kind of competing against each other, all ultimately to bring out a great resource. But Russia is a nation-state energy competitor to us, right? So, I mean, I don't know necessarily it's in Russia's interest to not have American oil and gas go, isn't it?
Well, certainly. All the competitors from outside the United States understand that we are efficient, we are innovative, we are creative, we have the capacity to execute and deliver these products around the world in the form that customers want them. They know we're a really, really strong competitor, and in so many ways, whether it's the Iranians or the Russians, they'd prefer that the resources in the United States not be touched, not be tapped to compete with them around the world. They can charge more money. They can use this their resources for their political gain, for their sovereign ends. The United States can't let that happen. We need to be on the world stage delivering American energy all across the world.
What advice would you have for these people that are risking capital, that are going out there with a product, with an idea to do just exactly what you say is so important, yet are target number one for a current administration? the Biden administration in a regulatory sense, right? First action, shut down a pipeline, continue to be, obviously, with climate action, canceling drilling on federal lands. These guys are up against their own administration, and they're trying to enhance American energy security. What advice would you have for them? How do they operate in an environment like that?
Well, rule one is just go out and work your tail off. No matter what the political environment is, if you go out and work and innovate and create and compete, good things will happen. Second, I think the industry has the responsibility to make the case. I've watched operators in Texas and Oklahoma and my home state of Kansas. I'm certain it's the case here. Operate in incredibly environmentally friendly ways, right? They care deeply about these resources, these land spaces, the landowners require, but the operators want these things to be protected as well. Everyone wants clean air and safe drinking water. When you all make the case for why this is an important component of American growth, why this is a humanitarian good, we lift millions of people out of poverty every year with safe and affordable energy so they can turn the lights on in their home, they can have water delivered to their home in a way that's consistent and stable. We see what happened with this pipeline. American energy matters an awful lot. We should be unembarrassed about going out and making the case for why this matters so much to each and every American all across our country.
As you were sitting across the table, as you did many, many times, as Secretary of State from world leaders, I was always amazed and still continue to be amazed how much the climate action, for lack of a better term, the extreme environmental movement grips these foreign leaders. Why is that such an issue when, as you say, we do it better than anybody, and if you push development offshore, you're going to be in places that regulate it less than we do and put it into the same air. Why do you think it is front and center for our friends and adversaries around the globe?
Well, I think for our adversaries, they just assume we give it up, and they'll use any theory to make us give it up. And so if you're China and you can get the United States to sign the Paris Climate Accords, that's an enormous win for you. You're going to take America's energy productivity and the wealth that is created from that off the board. It allows you to have more capacity to dominate the world. You know, for our friends, frankly, mostly our friends in big countries in Europe, although not the smaller countries in Europe, they're engaged in an article of faith about climate change. Right? This is a near religious act that they perform when they commit to having zero net carbon emissions or whatever their thing of it is. The truth is, as soon as they go stare at the problem set, as soon as they say, "Great, we've now issued this statement from the EU or from some French political actor," as soon as they go plan to execute, it gets really expensive, really fast, really costly. People in those countries certainly don't want it. They just as soon watch America suffer, close down its economy, so they can benefit from that.
Interesting. So it sounds like it's really not necessarily a concern from some of those adversaries about the environment. It's a political and a business decision for them.
I think it's all of the above, and I think different people. I'm sure there are progressive politicians in Germany and in the Baltic states who care deeply about the environment. So do I, as a conservative. I care deeply about the environment well. But there are folks who are using this for other political ends as well that go far beyond any idea of making sure that there are fewer carbon emissions. When you hear them talk about the net effects, if you actually get to net carbon or get to carbon neutrality, whatever language of the day is, you can see the net effects on temperature change, even from the most aggressive scientific theories. And I think they all have to acknowledge that the cost far exceeds the benefit. It is difficult for them to do because there is an entire environmental industrial complex built around this near religious narrative.
We're talking to Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, keynote speaker at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference from the Bismarck Event Center trade floor. And enjoying this conversation immensely about the future, and looking forward to talking about some things that our listeners are curious about, and some of that includes the political future, Mr. Pompeo. But before we do that, I want to talk about the average everyday American. What should be keeping them up at night? What should be their top concern that isn't in a newspaper, that isn't on a television or radio newscast? What keeps you up at night as far as the threats to the United States of America?
Well, far and away the biggest threat to the United States is from within. Our founding ideas matter. If we walk away from those and adopt a woke understanding of the world, America will look like a very, very different place for our kids and grandkids. I wasn't dealing with that as a Secretary of State. From abroad, the greatest challenge is the Chinese Communist Party. I think people hear it and see it, and it seems ephemeral, seems far off. Make no mistake, the Chinese Communist Party is very focused on changing the nature of the relationships in the world, and certainly the nature between China and the United States. If we don't push back against it, this will not end well for the United States of America. We have every capacity, to continue to live in an America that we know and love, one that's based on the rule of law, where if we want to practice our faith, we're able to do so. All of the things that America was built in on our Judeo-Christian traditions, we can do that. But if we allow the Chinese Communist Party free reign and don't push back against them, we could end up living in a very, very different America.
What do they seek? If I could ask you to get in their head, what is it? What's their end game?
Yeah, they're a colonial power, an imperialist power. They seek to voice their vision of the world, their state-centric, authoritarian, Marxist-Leninist regime. That idea is fundamental to who the Chinese Communist Party is. They believe that's the right thing for the world, and they'd like to see us all live under that kind of a system.
Is there any hope of the ability to push back on that from within China? You're not talking about the Chinese people. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the CCP. Is the CCP got enough of an opposition that we have some allies in that regard there?
So it's difficult. This is an authoritarian state that's spying on every single thing, watching, monitoring every single thing every citizen is doing inside of China. They have enormous power. But it's true. Only about 190 million Chinese citizens are members of the Chinese Communist Party out of 1.4 billion people. There are huge swaths inside of China that just want political freedoms, the ability to practice their faith, things that they're being denied by the Chinese Communist Party. This can change. The CCP can lose control, but it's going to take American leadership and strength and resolve to push back against their continued growth around the world to give the Chinese people a chance to voice their actual views for the leadership that they would want to choose.
It seems as though, the narrative in the Trump administration and your tenure as Secretary of State and CIA director, it was, Trump loves China. Trump is sucking up China, North Korea, and Russia, when actually the strength was there that was necessary to say, we've drawn a line and you're not going to cross it. And now the exact opposite is happening with the Biden administration. Am I being too Pollyanna there?
It's quite something to watch the media narrative, how it flips. There's been no administration that responded to the Chinese threat in the way that we did, whether it was my declaration that they were conducting a genocide in the western part of the country, the costs we imposed on them when they violated their basic promises in Hong Kong, the support that we provided to Taiwan. The list goes on. We were serious about confronting the Chinese Communist Party. I hope this administration will continue down that path. This needs to be a bipartisan undertaking. It's going to take years, if not decades, to properly address the threat from the Chinese Communist Party. I hope we get that right. I hope both parties come to understand the centrality of this threat to our way of life in places like North Dakota.
Do you believe that the dollars that we gave them were used to juice the vaccine? I mean, with the Wuhan lab, something that was engaged in things that were nefarious and mean to do us harm?
So I always start with what I know for sure. I know this much. I know that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was engaged in gain-of-function research. That's a complicated term for taking a virus and making it more transmissible, human-to-human transmissible. There are good motives for doing this, but this is a very risky process. In the United States, we do it only rarely. At times, there have actually been a ban on that kind of activity. We know that there were practitioners inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology that came down with symptoms that were consistent with the Wuhan virus back in the fall of 2019. And then we saw the cover-up. We saw the massive, instantaneous cover-up, disappearing doctors, disappearing journalists, where they didn't want anybody to know what had taken place, where this Wuhan virus actually began. Those are all signs that lead me to believe it is enormously likely that this virus leaked out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology and then spread around the world to kill millions and millions of people.
And why would Tony Fauci and others think we need to contribute monetarily to that effort?
So the early dollars that came in from the West, the French built the facility, the United States was assisting with them. The mission set was to try and make the lab safer. This is a noble cause, to make sure that if people are engaged in bioactivity, bioresearch, that these labs are functional and have safety protocols in place. I think that was the original mission. I'll leave to others to talk exactly about what those dollars ended up actually being used for.
Should we have reason to believe that if they would do that, they would do other things? Elections? Cyber attacks? Is that fair to assume?
Well, this isn't the first time the Chinese have foisted a virus on the world and then proceeded to cover up their connectivity to this virus. So I'm very concerned that the biosafety issues that leave us in this place today still present risks to the world that something like this could happen. Again, it's why we were so intent on trying to figure out who patient zero was.
More with Mike Pompeo coming up.
Right here, right now, is where life happens. Where you do you. The dreams that grip you. For a life that moves you. At First International Bank and Trust, we're passionate about putting you and your family's needs first, so you can focus on what matters most. What are you living for? First International Bank and Trust. Live first. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Did you know you can save 50% on Herman Miller chairs, the top name in office seating? Save 50% right now on special order Herman Miller office chairs during the signature sale at InterOffice Furniture in Fargo. And at InterOffice, save 20% on all in-stock furniture as well. It only happens once a year, the signature sale, with 50% off on special order Herman Miller chairs. But only through March 20th, and in our area, you can only find Herman Miller chairs at InterOffice Furniture, 1st Avenue North in Fargo.
Luke's back from Red Drilling. Find him at reddrilling.com. What's the perfect person? Yeah. What are you looking for? Somebody's already in construction, or what are you looking for in the way of skill sets?
I like training guys that have no experience. So I mean, that's willing to work hard and do some traveling. They need to have a driver's license and they need two thumbs.
And what kind of a pay range? What would your best employee? What is the high end potential?
The high end is 30, and a new guy with no experience, 16. Start CDL drivers at 22. So they're getting, when we're busy here, they're getting, 50 to 70 hours a week, Monday through Saturday, Sunday off.
If somebody heard this today, Luke, and they say, I want to work for Luke, what should they do?
Give me a call on my direct cell phone number, 934-1134, and we can talk wages and when you want to start, and we got plenty of work out there.
It's the way to go. Reddrilling.com, two D's in that, reddrilling.com. Call Luke at 701-934-1134 right now. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Scott.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, we're back at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference. Mike Pompeo is our guest, former Secretary of State, and I would argue one of the top stars of the Trump administration for sure, doing battle. And a switch has flipped in many ways, Mr. Secretary, in this country where, I mean, you don't have to be much of a political scientist to realize there's a fair amount of weakness. And what do enemies do? What do bad actors do when they witness weakness?
Yeah, they drive a truck through it, right? History is replete with cases where governments decided to appease or to try and accommodate or acknowledge that, can't we all just get along? The truth of the matter is what our adversaries respond to is a clarity, transparency, someone who will defend the things that they care deeply about, make it abundantly clear that you're prepared to defend those things in ways that will protect and preserve American sovereignty. When we do that, we will deter this aggression. And you can see it in China today, see it on our southern border today.
You see what's happening in the Middle East today, where I get notes overnight from friends who are in Israel, who are with their kids in bunkers underneath the ground in their bomb shelter in their homes. When America is weak, when America is understood not to be prepared to defend the things it cares most deeply about, our adversaries will do everything they can to undermine our way of life.
And talk about the situation there right now. A lot of work obviously was done on that front by you and, mm-hmm. and President Trump. What's happening now, and how do you connect that to the work you did?
Oh, there's no doubt that these attacks, these rocket attacks from Hamas, a terrorist group located in a little strip of land on the Mediterranean, are Iranian-backed attacks. The Iranians can see that this administration is going to appease them, and so they're going to put as much pressure on our Gulf allies, on the Israelis, on us, so they can get a deal that's even better, and they'll be returned to a place where their economy is once again functional. We had taken down the Iranian regime's capacity to inflict terror around the world. We denied them enormous resources. Their defense budget shrunk by over 25% during just the 20 months we had these sanctions in place. And now you're right. We've flipped the switch. We've gone back 180 degrees, and you can see Iranian aggression will continue. It certainly matters in the Middle East. The Abraham Accords were historically significant. They are game changers for people all throughout the Middle East, but it matters in the United States too. There are deep energy implications. There are deep implications for Americans who are trying to travel to the region. I think about all the Americans that are sitting in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem today with rockets falling in those cities. This is something that we should never have permitted to happen in American acquiescence. By calling for de-escalation from both sides, it sends a signal to the Iranians that they can continue to move about the cabin.
If I look at the list of things that have occurred just in a very short period of time, I the border situation, you look at the economic situation, the inflation that's right around the corner and escalating. I mean, you've got Russia shutting down pipelines with a cyber attack. You've got China and everything we talked about last segment. Is Joe Biden up to the job?
You know, I'm old enough to remember President Carter. This feels like those times, right? The gasoline shortages these last couple of days were a reminder what happens when you have deep inflationary pressure, what happens to ordinary Americans who are trying to just make a living. When America's weak around the world, our adversaries will move about. I'm counting on President Biden. He has a responsibility to the American people to get our economy back to the place we had it. I remember so many times there were more jobs available than were people looking for work for the last for the first 2.5 years of the Trump administration. These are things that America has to get back to. We know how to get there, and I'm confident the American people, when they go to the polls in November of 2022, are going to realize that they were sold a bill of goods by the Democrat Party, and it's not good for them.
You're a man of faith. A lot of people in our audience in the good heartland of America are God-fearing, freedom-loving people who respect the Founding Fathers. It could be a time for great consternation and a great, great worry, because you see so much that was done on their behalf. President Trump was a fighter, if he was nothing else, right? Day in and day out, swinging for everything they cared about. They see that unraveling quickly. For people of faith, how do you, when you see what's happening in the Middle East, when you see what's happening in every corner of this country, what advice do you have for them?
Oh boy, three things first. We've seen this before, and America is strong and resilient. I am very confident that America will reject these ideas that President Biden and Vice President Harris and AOC and her tribe are putting forward. Second, we're a nation that the Lord is watching. I believe that with all my heart. We know that this nation was founded on this Judeo-Christian tradition that has preserved our republic for all of these years. I have every belief that with hardworking Americans aiming to protect that and preserve that, we'll be fine. Last, your point about being a person of faith, I pray a lot. I pray that the American people will make good decisions. I pray that our leaders, including those leaders that I didn't vote for, will make good decisions on behalf of the United States of America. I'm confident that if we keep our faith and we work hard, that America will continue to be that shining city on a hill that President Reagan, my first commander-in-chief when I was a young soldier, spoke about.
Do you want to be president of the United States?
A long ways from that. I'm working next week. I'll be in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, I think, campaigning on behalf of congressional candidates. I've done fundraisers for senators. I'm going to help every conservative work their tail off and help them raise enough money so they can get elected in 22. And then we'll see what happens after that. I deeply care about America. I'm always up for a good fight. I worked for a president who was always up for a fight that mattered to the United States of America. I certainly have every intention on continuing to work for the things that matter so much to me and to my family, you and your family, and all those people across America who care about our country so deeply.
What do you think President Trump's going to do?
Oh, goodness. Only time will tell what President Trump will do. I know what he did. I know what he did for the United States of America. He left us in a place where people respected the United States abroad, and where if you wanted to practice your faith here in the United States, you had every right to do so. And if you wanted to go work hard and get after it with your family, we were going to create a set of economic conditions here in the United States where you were able to do that.
Mr. Secretary, what a pleasure. You're a great
sir.
Leader. People appreciate that very much. Thanks for coming here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, our guest on What's On Your Mind from the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference. More after this. Come away.
Vince is here from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Tell me about a splash pool.
Splash Super Pool is made in the United States. It's above ground. It's portable and used commercially all over the world. It's been very, very popular, especially in our climate with our customers. Last year, they were hard to get. They're going to be hard to get this year, but we have them in stock, and it's not too early to come in and get yours for this upcoming summer.
Find them at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, online or in Bismarck, Grand Forks, and West Fargo. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. Tell them Scott sent you.
For years, Peckwood Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City has been there for you, and we're here for you now. Our top priority continues to be to keep our community safe and healthy. That's why we are taking extra measures in cleaning our facility to minimize any health risks. Convenient pickup and delivery to your home or office for sales and service is still available. Together, we will get through this and be stronger for it. Thank you from everyone at Peckwood Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.